Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, as you've been hearing on the news, anti-American protests are continuing in Libya and Egypt, spreading to Yemen, Iran, Bangladesh, and elsewhere in response to a video produced in the United States denigrating the Prophet Muhammad. Meanwhile, the political rhetoric in the United States has been about American values. Have you noticed that? And what it means to defend them abroad. Which values, you ask? Good question.
An apology for America's values is never the right course.
The values that we proudly present to the rest of the world.
Religious tolerance.
The right of free speech.
We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others.
We'll defend also our constitutional rights.
And our president needs to speak with force and clarity for our principles.
And to defend our values.
Values came up in a stump speech in Golden, Colorado yesterday when the president vowed to defend them.
I want people around the world to hear me, to all those who would do us harm. No act of terror will go unpunished. It will not dim the light of the values that we proudly present to the rest of the world. No act of violence shakes the resolve of the United States of America.
So is he talking about the American value of freedom of religious tolerance or the American value of freedom of speech, even hate speech, or both? Joining me now to take a closer look at the values rhetoric from both sides is Jeremy Waldron, professor of law and philosophy at the NYU School of Law and Social and Political Theory at Oxford University and author of the book The Harm in Hate Speech. Professor, welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And as someone who thinks a lot about freedom of speech and legal rights in this country and freedom of religion and tolerance, what has struck you about the discussion of American values over the last few days?
Well, I think what's quite striking is the different things that people mean by American values, which makes perfect sense. We don't just have one value. We have a whole array of them. So certainly emphasizing free speech and in the United States, the right of people to publish what they like, however distasteful. That's certainly an American value. The emphasis on religious toleration, also a First Amendment value, I think is important, and the broader social value of not attacking or denigrating somebody's religion. And then there are the values about nonviolence and the values about the importance of diplomacy and understanding between peoples. So I think the crucial thing is to bear in mind how complex American values are. And this is a complexity that's a tribute to them. It's not a denigration.
So listeners, have you been noticing these statements about values and principles, not just security with respect to the embassy violence and the flame-throwing rhetoric of the film? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. What's your understanding? What's your feeling about the values that we should be defending abroad? How would you use the term American values when communicating with other Americans or with other people elsewhere on the planet? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And you can also give us your thoughts on where the law should come in here. Should there be any legal restrictions on speech like this, like yelling fire in a crowded theater? Should it be seen that way? Our guest is both a professor of law and philosophy, so we'll be able to get into both sides. 212-433-9692. And we've spoken a lot on the show about the timeline of statements since Tuesday night and the back and forth between the campaigns. But it all started with a written statement from the U.S. Embassy in Cairo when the demonstrations against the film began, and included these lines, quote, "Respect for religious beliefs is a cornerstone of American democracy. We firmly reject the actions by those who abuse the universal right of free speech to hurt the religious beliefs of others." So it acknowledges a universal right of free speech, but firmly rejects the actions by those who abuse it, in the embassy statement's words. So that was the statement that Governor Romney took issue with on Wednesday morning.
America will not tolerate attacks against our citizens and against our embassies. will defend also our constitutional rights of speech and assembly and religion. We have confidence in our cause in America. We respect our Constitution. We stand for the principles our Constitution protects. We encourage other nations to understand and respect the principles of our Constitution, because we recognize that these principles are the ultimate source of freedom for individuals around the world.
All right. That was a later statement by Governor Romney. That was not the one denouncing the embassy statement. But Professor Waldron, in your opinion, is there something fundamentally at odds between the statement from the embassy in Cairo and Governor Romney's framing of American values, which we still heard the basis of in that clip? Is he elevating the right to hate speech above the American value of tolerance?
I don't think so. He's simply asserting that the two of them stand together, I think, or at least that's what he ought to be saying. I think it is part of our value that we respect and uphold free speech, but that doesn't mean that people who speak hatefully are immune from criticism or immune from social condemnation. And when we say we reject what they say and we regard it as an abuse of the right, that's not necessarily the same as saying we propose to prohibit it. But free speech is always open to criticism, response, denunciation, condemnation. That's the marketplace of ideas. So I think it's possible that Governor Romney is not particularly interested in that point, but I think it's a very important point to stress.
And I want to play the clip that we intended to of Romney, because he really seems to counterpose here the idea of free speech against the idea of denouncing the abuse of the right of free speech, as the embassy framed it. Listen.
When our embassy has been breached by protesters, the first response should not be to say, yes, we stand by our comments that suggest that there's something wrong with the right of free speech.
Comments that suggest that there's something wrong with the right of free speech. Well, the embassy didn't really make such a suggestion, did it?
It did not. It said that people can abuse the right of free speech, and that's not the same as saying there's something wrong with it. I mean, there are very many different views about free speech in the world, and Secretary of State Clinton acknowledged this in a more recent statement. And some countries do prohibit religious hate speech, although whether even those laws would make unlawful this particular video, The Innocence of Muslims, is a further question.
You mentioned Secretary of State Clinton's language, and I want to play a couple of clips of her, because she also, in response to this whole problem, in response to the film, in response to the violence that was a response to the film, in response to the way Romney in that clip framed his criticism, Hillary Clinton gave kind of a civics lesson in which she had to walk a fine line between condemning the video but also defending its existence. So we're going to play a couple of longer stretches here, because I think they're that interesting. Here is about a minute of Secretary Clinton speaking about religious freedom.
Let me state very clearly, and I hope it is obvious, that the United States government had absolutely nothing to do with this video. We absolutely reject its content and message. America's commitment to religious tolerance goes back to the very beginning of our nation. And as you know, we are home to people of all religions, many of whom came to this country seeking the right to exercise their own religion, including, of course, millions of Muslims. And we have the greatest respect for people of faith.
And then a little later, Secretary Clinton explained free speech after she talked about religious tolerance as an American value. Here's about a minute and a half of that.
Now, I know it is hard for some people to understand why the United States cannot or does not just prevent these kinds of reprehensible videos from ever seeing the light of day. Now, I would note that in today's world, with today's technologies, that is impossible. But even if it were possible, our country does have a long tradition of free expression, which is enshrined in our Constitution and our law. And we do not stop individual citizens from expressing their views, no matter how distasteful they may be. There are, of course, different views around the world about the outer limits of free speech and free expression. But there should be no debate about the simple proposition that violence in response to speech is not acceptable. We all, whether we are leaders in government, leaders in civil society, or religious leaders, must draw the line at violence. And any responsible leader should be standing up now and drawing that line.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. My guest is Professor Waldron of NYU in Oxford and author of The Harm in Hate Speech. And Professor Waldron, for the three people somewhere in the world who weren't involved, you know, embroiled in political campaigns or in religious wars, that was a wonderful explanation of the values from both sides.
I thought it was terrific. It was very important for her to acknowledge that there are different views about hate speech, but that violence is never an appropriate response. You know, you could think about a very simple analogy. There was a case in 2011 called Snyder against Phelps. That was the people picketing a Marine's funeral with various homophobic slogans like "You're going to hell" and "God hates you" and "Semper Fi, fags," and so on.
Right, now, generally known as the Westboro Baptist Church case, right?
Exactly right, and that was upheld as free speech. But of course, the government would be quite right to denounce that picketing, to condemn that picketing, and such denunciation wouldn't detract from free speech, which is these guys can't be stopped legally from doing this. But it's an outrage that they have chosen to abuse their rights in this manner. And I think we can say something very similar about the Innocence of Muslims video that has caused all this trouble. By American law, of course, she's right. It can't be prohibited and probably can't practicably be prohibited even if the law allowed it. But it's one thing to say that we have to allow it to go out into the world. It's another thing to associate ourselves with it. And I think the United States government is quite right in rejecting its message and saying that this has nothing to do with the views of the American people or the American state.
And it might be where Romney stumbled in inadvertently seeming to associate himself with it.
I think that's right. I mean, the whole thing is it's the importance of holding two or three ideas in one's head at the same time. This is the exercise of a right. It is wrong. And the response to it was outrageous. The violent response of the protesters in Libya and in Egypt. Now, you hold those three ideas in your head. They're not contradictory. You just have to think carefully through how interestingly complicated our values are on this matter.
Dan in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to express, two views. One has to do with, in general, about values. We have to recognize that in today's world, the globalization of cultures and not just economy, but cultures as well, we have to recognize that values are relative. And what is what we consider as a very high value in the United States may not at all be appreciated as a value elsewhere. And as far as free speech, this is a obviously for all of us, this is a very important, they're very basic value, American value. But even in the United States, we have limits to freedom of speech. And the example, I believe, Brian, that you gave yesterday was the, yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
And so we consider that as being the red line in the United States. But speaking against a religious leader or a prophet or whatever is considered to be okay in the United States. Well, obviously, in the Muslim world, such speech is comparable to yelling fire in a crowded theater.
I think it's a very important point to understand different countries and where the values you know, axis lies there as compared to here. Dan, do you think that the United States, would you like to see the United States reconsider where that line is with respect to this kind of hate speech?
I think this is it would be very, very difficult. I think it would be great if we can do that. At least we should have the discussion. At least we should have people in the United States realize that when they say stuff, they don't only speak nowadays to the American people, but they speak to the world. And therefore, it means that people have to take a lot more responsibility, you know, before they hit the send button.
Dan, thank you so much for your call. And Professor Waldron, he raises some very provocative questions there. And I wonder for you, as a professor of both philosophy and law, think that the United States, or most Americans, let's say, take too for granted that it's obvious that speech like this should be protected by law?
Most other countries, most other advanced democracies don't take that extreme view, although I'm thinking of countries like Great Britain or Canada or Germany or Australia or New Zealand.
What did you characterize as the extreme view?
The extreme view that this particular sort of speech should be prohibited. They protect people from attack on religious believers. So if somebody were to say all Muslims are terrorists, that would be prohibited. But simply attacking the religion itself or its founders in most countries which have hate speech laws, that doesn't count as hate speech. So I think it's important to draw that distinction, although from what I've seen of the video, it does both. It attacks Muslims as well as attacking the Prophet and as well as attacking Islam in general. I agree with Dan that it's really, really important to think perhaps more carefully about all these issues than we have done. That's what I was trying to promote with my book, was just to get people to think about the ways these things are done in other countries. Not necessarily to advocate change in the United States, but just so that we have a clearer sense of the way that values line up in countries that are closely associated with us.
Warren and Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Morning. You know, we're trying to export our culture and our values to different cultures, and the Muslim culture has existed for a very, very long time. There's this conception that it's anti-Christian and anti-Jewish. That's not the case at all. There have been times where they have been well integrated, where, you know, we've had the Jewish and Christians within their hierarchy. Now, this is a different time and a different place, but the values that we have, which we have, you know, created over many, many hundreds of years in democracies and worked through, we put freedom of speech at the top of that hierarchy. They don't do that, and we have to just accept that. That doesn't mean that they can't evolve to a certain place. The Prophet cannot be depicted, and that's not going to ever change within their culture. Now, that does not mean you go out and you kill people, but there's a clash here that we somehow need to have some sort of respect for their values. They're going to have to come to the understanding that there's a certain understanding of our values. It doesn't mean we're right, and it doesn't mean that we're wrong, but our history of democracy, it didn't start in 1776. It started like in 1215. Their history of democracy is starting right now. That's not the structure of their societies.
Warren, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time. And Professor Waldron, he makes important points. I don't know that I'd go as far as he does to say that they don't value democracy or they don't value religious tolerance. I think there's a lot of history, particularly from the Middle Ages, that shows that there was a lot of both in the Muslim-run world.
I think that's absolutely true. The values evolve in a different order and with different nuances. And one of the whole points about diplomacy and understanding between cultures is appreciating that. And that's the hideous thing, I think, at the end of the day on this issue, that on the one hand, there was a deliberate attempt to provoke the Muslim world, and on the other hand, there was a deliberate assault on embassies and ambassadors, which are very much supposed to be the instruments of international understanding.
Indeed. And yet, when he talks about exporting American values and whether that's misguided, we do tend to have a sense in this country and in the Western world in general that the values of tolerance of different people's religions and of free speech, both of which are in the First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, are kind of universal values, and that countries that don't adhere to those values are violating people's individual rights.
I think we do believe that, and probably quite rightly. We don't just hold these values as self-evident for us. We really believe these are important ways for humans to relate to one another. But having said that, the way it's worked out in detail is always a matter for the history and the particular laws of particular countries. So even when we assert that these are universal values and that we would try to encourage their acceptance throughout the world, we have to understand that different peoples will make slightly different understandings of them and interpretations of them. I mean, goodness me, we debate the limits of free speech, as one of your callers said, and we debate the exact meaning of the First Amendment incessantly in our courts. So it's not as though the universality puts all the discussion or controversy to sleep.
By all means. And this is kind of a values conflict between two clauses in the First Amendment, if you look at it in just the U.S. constitutional framework. So we thank Professor Waldron from NYU and Oxford and author of the book The Harm in Hate Speech for having some of this values conversation with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, why conservatives believe the embassy violence is a result of American weakness in the world as much as a reaction to the film.